Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
Genesis chapter 25 this evening. Abraham was a friend of God. Abraham was a friend to God. Tonight we're going to take Genesis chapter 25 and divide it up into 2 weeks, or at least 2 weeks, I should say, for I believe it important to give Abraham's last days one whole sermon on its own. We find Genesis chapter 25, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Zimran and Jokshan and Medan and Midian and Ishbak and Shua. And Jokshan begat Sheba and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Asherim and Letusim and Lemuim, and the sons of Midian, Ephah and Epher and Hanok and Abidah and Eladah. All these were the children of Keturah. All the deaf people just found out their name was Bob, Bill, Sam, and Gary. That's what I would have done. I just said, Jim. Good luck, Sarah, or Jennifer, I mean. Yeah. That's right. Hack and cough. Yeah. Read it for yourself. Let's go on. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubines, I find that an interesting title that his second wife is given, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 175. That's 175. And Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man, and full of years. And was gathered to his people, and his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohor the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth. There was Abraham buried, and Sarah his wife. Father, please help me tonight as we discuss these few verses for the few minutes that we have. And Father, may we learn. Our desire is to learn something. May we feast. Our desire is to be nourished. And Father, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray that they'll be saved. If there's someone that has need, I pray that you'll show up. In Jesus' name, amen. Abraham's final investment. The first thing that I find of interest that many people do not realize is that Abraham remarries after Sarah. Abraham has more children, but his wife Sarah only had one. Abraham has 8 children now, 6 born to Keturah, 1 born to Hagar, and 1 born to Sarah. If you were to study the names of the children, and I would suggest that you go and take some time to study this out. There's a lot of things that I could point out. I don't want to get too deep or too thick, but there's some interesting things here. If you were to study the names of the children, you would find out what their names meant. We don't know a lot about these children. And so if we were going to make assumption, which I don't think is fair to do, solely on the meaning of their name, then we would find that only one of these children are God-fearing, and the 5 other children are pretty wicked, if we just went by the meaning of the names. Of course, in the Bible days, names did have meaning. And I think names should have meaning today. I mean, sometimes parents like the way a name sounds or give names because of a family name. I think it's important to have meaning to a name. My name, Nathan, means gift. Any name that you put I-E-L or A-E-L or just E-L on tags the of God to it. So Nathan means, or Nathaniel means, the gift of God. Parents got that right, didn't they? I'm just kidding. Of course, Joshua, we know Joshua is the Old Testament equivalent to the name Jesus in the New Testament. Jonathan, I'm not sure what it means. I call him Joe Nathan, and then Anna. My dad liked biblical names, and so my brother John, I believe my mother wanted Jonathan David, and my dad wanted Jonathan Isaac. So in my mother's intoxicated state of morphine or whatever was happening while she was giving birth to Josh or John, she called him Jonathan Isaac David. And so he has three names. But I give meaning to our children's name, Summer, Summer Grace. My wife was very sick with our children. The first child we had was a miscarriage at the Bill Rice Ranch. The second child, my wife was, she kept it in her diary. Her first day of finding out that she was pregnant and having morning sickness, she threw up, I think, 38 times. She was in the hospital at least 20 different times while pregnant with Summer. And by the grace of God, we made it through the summer. And she was born December the 13th. So we called her Summer Grace, because by the grace of God, we made it through the summer. The twins were born. They were stillborn. They passed away, went to heaven. They were monoamnionic twins. Micah means like God. Matthew also means gift of God. So we named one Micah. We named the other Matthew. Micah, Jordan. Matthew, Canaan, giving the idea that when one crosses over to Jordan, they go into the promised land of Canaan. I know heaven is not Canaan, but that's what we named our children when the gift of God becomes like God. Matthew and Micah. We were in Greece, found out that we were pregnant for the fourth time. And autumn was coming along. And by faith, we made it through fall when we found out that we were expecting, and all of our experiences thus far of pregnancies were horrific. And by faith, we made it through the fall. She was born in April, and we named her Autumn Faith. Fast forward 8 years. My wife starts feeling ill again. Now we have a theme going, summer, autumn. Interesting enough, it goes along with what our thoughts were. How in the world are we having children in the winter years of our life? And so we had hope in winter, and we have winter hope. And then I was taking my father when he turned 60. I took him to a Pittsburgh Steelers versus Cincinnati Bengals game in Cincinnati. That was fun. I learned a lot of words. Had to start writing them down. I didn't know what that meant. Because I was a Steeler fan, not a Cincinnati fan. And while we were there, I decided to take my parents to the Creation Museum. My wife had been feeling ill, and 10 years, this is God at work, 10 years to the day that the twins passed away, we found out that we were having Brandon. 10 years to the day. And so, we were not going to call him Spring. We thought about hurricane or tornado. We named him Brandon. I think Brandon means prince. His middle name's Lee. My grandfather's middle name was Lee. My dad's middle name was Lee. My middle name is Lee, and Brandon's middle name also Lee. So just to let you know, there are meaning to our children's name. Maybe you don't have meaning to your children's name. Maybe you just picked it out of a book, and that's just okay. In the Old Testament, there was great meaning to the children's names. But I don't know that it's necessarily fair to ascribe these children their behaviors because of the name that were given at birth. But we do know that one of the children became an enemy of God. His descendants became an enemy of God and did nothing but give the children of God trouble throughout their days. Of course, that was the Midianites. On a side note, if you like to study history and you like to learn things, this might be of new interest to you. Job, the book of Job. The book of Job is chronologically the oldest book of the Bible, we believe, written. If the Bible took 1,400 years with 40 different human authors that God used to write the canon of Scripture, Job would have been the first. We believe it to be the oldest manuscript. Job, there has been a lot of debate when Job was alive. Some people put Job alive before the flood, which is not possible because there's snow, and there was no snow before the flood. That all happened after the flood. And so there's a lot of debate. But interesting enough that one of Abraham's sons is one of Job's best friend's dad. Bildad the Shuhite was a descendant from Shua. So Job is after Abraham. Interesting fact to me. But we do see that Abraham had 8 sons, but only one promised son. And that, of course, was Isaac, the son of Sarah. So I find that very interesting. Number 2, I want you to see that Isaac was the son of promise. Abraham left everything to Isaac. Do you know that we are the children of God, and we are joint heir with Christ? We get it all. I love that story about World War II time where there was this son and this widower, and he and his son collected a vast supply of art. I mean a vast supply of art. Come time for war, the son is enlisted into fight in World War II. He dies in battle. His son had taken up the love and desire to draw, to be an artist, and so he would practice painting while overseas. And one day, there came a knock at this widower's door who had just lost his son. And there standing in front of him was a man in military uniform carrying a big gift. The man opened the gift and saw that it was a portrait, a crude portrait of his son. Nothing like the millions of dollars worth of art that was hanging in his house, but a crude picture of his son whom he loved dearly. And so he took the expensive painting off of the wall that hung over the fireplace, and there he placed this picture which was worth nothing to anybody except to the father. Years go by, the father dies. He leaves nothing to be inherited. He had no one to leave it to. And so the state decides to have an auction, and they're going to auction off all the paintings. And in the will, the father saw to it that when the paintings were auctioned off, the first painting to be sold was the painting of the boy, the one that nobody really wanted. This was a big deal. All the people that had museums and art galleries from all over the world made their way to this man's estate, and they were waiting for the auction to begin. The first painting is of the boy. The auctioneer cries out, "This is the painting that will sell first. What do you give me? What do you give me?" There was murmuring in the pews or the seats. "This is not what we've come to see. Let's get on with the expensive ones. Let's get on with the ones that we want." There was none. Finally, in the back, there was a man that had helped tend the garden of the widowed man. And he knew the boy, and he too, loving the father, loved the boy. And he says, I have $10. Can I give you $10 for it? There was an eruption of cheer. Yay! We're finally going to get on to the good stuff, one of the collectors said. He says, $10 once, $10 twice. Sold to the man in the back for $10. And then the auctioneer said something very disturbing to all who had come on Christmas Day to collect this valuable collection of painting. Thank you for coming. The auction is over. Now there was almost pandemonium. A fight almost broke out, but he calmed the crowd and he said, in the will it said that this painting had to be sold first. And whoever got the son got it all. Amen. So, friend, you got Jesus? You got it all. You got it all. Here we see Isaac was the promised son. Jesus, of course, is the promised Messiah. Isaac has two boys. You can read this later on in the chapter, and we'll probably end up talking about these boys later on. But this chapter kind of jumps around a little bit. Isaac dies, Ishmael dies, Jacob and Esau are born. Well, Jacob and Esau were born 15 years before Abraham ever died. And so this tells me that Abraham had 15 years to invest in the life of Jacob and Esau. 15 years as a grandfather to invest in these young men's life. And I cannot tell you the value, friend, I cannot tell you the value of a grandparent, a godly grandparent's investment in grandchildren. If you're a grandparent today and you love the Lord, you are underestimating your value if you do not think that you can make a difference in your grandchildren's life. I believe Jacob got it. I think it took him a while to get it, but I don't think Esau ever got it. But 15 years, Abraham had the privilege of investing in these two boys, Jacob and Esau. You know, I've learned a lot from my grandparents, even the ones that I didn't know very well, and there were those. The four grandparents that I had, I got to know some better than others. I learned from some grandparents what to do. I also learned from some what not to do. But you know, the grandparent that I have left, she was a great influence in my life, and she always will be. She's 90 years old. I learned from her that hard work pays off. I learned from her how to be a devoted spouse, even when things weren't going all that well. I learned from her that having a lot of money doesn't mean nearly as much as giving a lot of time. See, you grandparents have a unique opportunity that even parents don't have, a bond that is special and sweet. Abraham had 15 years to invest in Jacob and Esau. Number three, I want us to see Abraham was a patriarch. Many do not realize this, but Mark, do you have that thing pulled up? Pull this up and put it on our slide projector here, or our projectors. Many people don't realize, but Abraham lived 60 years after, or 60 years before Noah ever died. Abraham had the opportunity for at least 60 years of his life to sit under the teaching of Noah. What was it like? As a matter of fact, if you look at the chart more closely, Shem outlives Abraham by, I think, 37 years. Abraham's a patriarch. Abraham, Noah, the red one's Noah there, you probably can't see it well. The red one's Noah, the green one's Shem. Down here, the orange one, the one before Isaac, that one right there, that is Abraham. And Abraham dies at 175. Shem lives for another 37 years or something like that. Hey, you know what? Abraham's a patriarch. He had the opportunity to sit there and talk to Noah for 60 years at least. Abraham did not leave Ur of the Chaldees until Abraham was 75. So if Abraham and Noah lived in the same area, which I assume they did, then Abraham got to sit under Noah and hear about the faith of Noah and get to see what happened in Noah's life and get to talk about the ark and how that was. Then he got to know Shem a little bit. And then at the age of 75, Abraham is called and moved away. And Abraham starts his own journey at being a patriarch. And of course, we don't sing the song Father Noah, we sing Father Abraham. And so Abraham becomes the patriarch to the Jewish nation. He is the father of Israel. Did you know Noah is the father of all of us? So isn't Adam. But that line got cleaned out after the flood, and Noah became the father of all of us. Somewhere in our DNA, Noah is our great-great-great-great-great-grandparent. But Abraham's not. Unless you are of Jewish descent, Abraham is a patriarch, a friend to God. But even patriarchs die. I want to see here finally the death of Abraham. There's some interesting things when the Bible talks about the death of Abraham. It talks about giving up the ghost. There's one other time in Scripture, or at least one other time in Scripture, that I remember the Bible using that phrase that stood out to me, and that's when Christ died on the cross. He gave up the ghost. Abraham gave up the ghost. That means Abraham died. But the Bible tells us that Abraham died full of years. Now, when it says full of years, it's not talking about longevity. I mean, good heavens, Shem is going to outlive Abraham by 37 years and has already pre-lived 500. Shem dies at 602. That's full of years, if we're going to go by a chronological date. No, the Bible says Abraham died full, and in your King James Bible, you'll notice the word full, and beside that, you will see full of years in italics, which is not incorrect. The Bible's not wrong. But when it's talking about full of years, it's not talking about longevity. It's talking about how Abraham lived his life. Let me ask you something. Are you and I, are we going, when we lay our heads down for the last time, are we going to be able to say we lived our life full of years? Abraham did. The Bible gives him that distinct pleasure of saying Abraham lived full of years. Someone said this, dying is easy. It's the living that counts. If you live right, you'll die right. Do you know that the devil has no old happy people? Have you ever noticed that? That the devil has no old happy people. An old man without Christ seems to be old and grouchy, but an old man or an old woman with Christ seems to be joyous and happy. A sense of peace. See, how one lives their life is important. Abraham lived 100 years following God. Abraham died at 175. The first 75 years, Abraham is in the Ur of Chaldees. God shows up and says, I want you to move. And Abraham then follows God for the next 100 years of his life. Abraham lived 63,875 days, give or take a couple. And out of the 63,875 days, give or take a couple, for 36,500 days, Abraham followed God. But see, that's how it is. We don't live our lives year by year. We live our lives day by day. You know the song, day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find. to meet my final years. You know what? We live day by day. Every day counts. I have been saved for 12,400 days, give or take some days. You that are saved have been following Christ for so many days as well, each of us having a different number, but we all must go the way of Abraham. We all must meet God through death or rapture. We will. How are you going to meet God? Full of years? Or not full of years? If you have time, take your Bibles and turn to Numbers chapter 23. I want you to see an interesting verse. Look at Numbers chapter 23 and look at verse number 10. There's a phrase in that verse that I want you to see. Balaam, do you know who Balaam is? Balaam's that wicked prophet that was going to go for money and gold to go and curse Israel, but God wouldn't let him. Remember, he's riding a donkey. God stops the donkey with the sword and an angel. The donkey stops. Balaam beats the donkey. Donkey moves on for a few more feet, stops again. Balaam beats the donkey. Does it another time. Finally, the donkey says, "Stop beating me. I can't go. Can't you see the angels?" This is when Balaam's donkey talks. And then God opened Balaam's eyes. And if he'd have gone any further, God would have struck him dead. This is that Balaam. Do you see what Balaam says in verse number 10 of chapter 23? He says, "Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like this." Did you realize that Balaam wanted to die the death of the righteous, but he had no desire to live the life of the righteous? And therefore, he could not die the death of the righteous. Even wicked Balaam wanted to live his life and die, or wanted to die the life of the righteous, but he couldn't live his life the life of the righteous. I think everybody in here would love to be able to, when they lay their heads down for the very last time and they're fixing to meet God face to face, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that died for them on the cross, I think all of us would want to be able to meet God righteously. I believe that's possible. But are we living the life of the righteous? You know, if you're saved, you're going to meet God face to face. You're going to be in heaven with Him. And if you don't know God and you don't get saved, you're going to meet God, but you're not going to live in heaven with Him. You're going to be cast into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. But everybody wants to die the death of the righteous, but you need to live the life of the righteous. See, the world will not only take your years, it'll take your joy, it'll take your peace. Friend, we need to live our life for the Lord, so when we meet God, our life is like Abraham, full. And then, finally, I want us to see the blessing of Isaac. Verse number 11 says, "And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac." The two oldest sons bury Abraham. Abraham now dies at 175. Ishmael, who will live to be 137, and Isaac bury Abraham. It doesn't mention anything about the other six sons. It says Ishmael and Isaac. You know what that tells me? That somewhere along the way, Abraham and Ishmael still had a relationship, which I think was important. But Ishmael and Isaac show up to bury Abraham, and they bury Abraham with Sarah. But that verse 11 tells us that God blesses Isaac. You know, when my dad died, after my dad died, I don't remember if it was in here, in this auditorium, probably was, I can't remember the first time that I prayed this prayer. I was impressed to pray, and I asked God to give me a triple portion of my dad's blessing. I don't even know what that means, but that's what I prayed. I still pray to this day, dear God, give me a triple portion of my dad's blessing. You know, I want my children to be more blessed than me someday. And it's every godly father's intent for their children to be blessed. And I see the faithfulness of God here. God, after Abraham is passed on from this life to the next, now he is able to take rule in his Abraham's bosom, as the rich man will be. The rich man will look into Abraham's bosom. Abraham now is in paradise, and Isaac is left pretty much by himself with his two boys, hurt, wondering what to do. And I want you to know that God shows up. God is faithful to Abraham by blessing his son. God is faithful to Isaac by blessing him. Friend, I want you to know that God is faithful. He made a vow to Abraham 100 years ago. And then he reaffirmed that vow with Isaac 100 years later. You know what that's called? That's called a faithful God. A non-forgetting, faithful God. Hey, God will be faithful to you and to me. Friend, God is faithful. If you have been saved, you are blessed by God too. And according to Galatians 4, you and I are heirs with Christ. The blessings don't start when you die. The blessings start now. Tonight we've seen that we need to leave a godly heritage to our children. Abraham does that. Not only does he leave a godly heritage to his children, he leaves a godly heritage to his children's children. We've also seen that the way you live takes far more effort than the way you die. And it may it be said of all of us that when we die, no matter what age, we die full of years. Meaning the years that we live or have left are full. We also see the blessings of God. But maybe you're not saved. Maybe you've not been adopted into the family of God. Hey, friend, He wants you to be His child. Let someone take the Bible and show you from God's Word how to be saved. This is what I see at the beginning of Genesis chapter 25 as we go through the book of Genesis. I felt like it necessary to stop at verse 11 and just talk about Abraham, the friend of God. Are you a friend of God? Am I a friend of God? Are you and I going to be able to live our lives, and no matter what age, if we die at the age of 40 or if we die at the age of 104, are we going to be able to live our lives and say it was full of years? And remember, dying's easy. That doesn't take great effort. It's living that counts. Are you living for Christ? If you live for Christ, someday when you die for Christ, it'll count. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.